Thanks very much, Mark. Mark's been playing some Easter music for us this morning. Thank you so much for that. Welcome, everyone. Good to see you this morning. It's good to be together. A couple of things I want to mention just straight up. Thanks very much for the team this morning and yesterday, just doing some setting up in the sanctuary. and also some emergency printing out of songs. Tried our best to get this data projector and a laptop thing happening, but it just hasn't come together this morning, so I'm not sure exactly what's happening there. So hymn books this morning, plus our first song, See What I'm Mourning and Just Love. Hopefully you've got. If you haven't, just put your hand up and we'll get that to you. I see that hand, Sally. Yes. Oh, no, she's holding up the copies. Okay, no, here we go. And Kay over there. And maybe that we can just share a couple around. That's fine. And welcome. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are so glad that you are here on this Easter day. Welcome. We'll have some time to share with you a little bit later on. That's good. And there'll be some time shortly. We'll share some life, some things of our life together here. There's a few things that we need to share by way of information and then share in some prayer after that. So again, welcome as we share together this morning. Welcome to those who are here in the room. Welcome to those who will listen or watch a little later on at a different time. This is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. This is the good news, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never put it out. This is the good news, that once we were no people, now we are God's people. Hallelujah. Christ is our peace, an indestructible peace. Amen. We sing See What a Mourning. I'll ask you, invite you to stand if you're able to do that. And it's See What a Mourning, which is the three verses, I think it is. Rosemary? Yeah, thank you. I'll have one shortly. We stand to sing. Please be seated. We pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you have raised Christ from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. You create the earth, and your steadfast love endures forever and for all the people of every nation. As the prophets testified, you sent your Son Jesus into the world. You anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Like a stone rejected by the builders, he was put to death, but you raised him on the third day and made him the cornerstone of your kingdom. Now he meets us in our grief, eating and drinking with us and raising us all to life in him, so that he might present the kingdom to you, having destroyed the last enemy, evil and death itself. Therefore, with our hearts lifted high, we offer you thanks and praise at all times through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our next song, Such Love, it may be new to most of us, possibly, and it's one of those ones. I had a look at this one and Rosemary showed me a while ago, it seemed to tie together Good Friday and today really well as we talk about this love that God so had for the world, for us, for you, for me. And so please join in as you're able to. And we might remain seated as we sing this. And please join in as you're able to. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather on this Easter day and as we sing of our praise and awe and wonder of you, we are so thankful for all that you've done for us. It's because of the confidence that we can have in that we can come to you and acknowledging who we are before you. Forgive us, O Lord, and have mercy on us for those times when, although being an Easter people, we do not live that out in our words, in our actions, our attitudes. And although, Lord, being an Easter people, forgive us for the times when we have not told of the risen Christ, when there has been opportunity to do so. Forgive us and have mercy on us. We thank you, Lord, that through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we're able to come to seek mercy and forgiveness. Lord, we continue our prayer in some moments of quietness. Lord God, you have been so gracious to us in the way that you have come to us, the way that you have sought us out and found us. We thank you that in Christ we're able to know sins forgiven and the promise of life in all of its fullness, both here and in that which is to come. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. Having heard God's word of peace and grace and forgiveness, we're able to share that with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. Look at the service, David. We sing again, and folks, I hope you've got your singing voices today, because there's lots of things that we're singing this morning. Morning has broken, and we stand to sing if you're able to. Morning has broken, and then we'll have announcements. Thank you.
Happy Easter, and welcome to everyone, especially those friends that we haven't actually met yet. It's lovely to have some people here visiting, and especially when they are friends or family. That's always a great thing to have too. But remember that we have a cup of tea at the end of the service, and we'd love to have a chance to talk to you. I think we have quite a few that I have not seen the faces of before. Fortunately, we've got Ken up the back who's brought his family. I told them I'd never remember all the names, so I'm getting out of that. And there's another few people around who have only been once or twice before. Now, we have some happy news, which is always good to hear. You can see the flower on the communion table, and that always means for us that a new baby has been born, connected to members of our community. And this flower is for Sonia Davidson's first great grandchild, that's right. Hugh Stuart McClellan, who is a grandson for Alistair and Alison Davidson, also known to many here who grew up in this church. He was born last Sunday. That was a welcome advanced birthday present for Sonia, who had her own birthday yesterday. So please take note of the prayer points for this week on the list in front of you on the notices. It does mention those in our community of special needs you'll hear a little more about. And also there are some other important things that definitely need our prayer support locally and internationally. So take note of that. The coffee and chat with David will be happening this week at one table, this Wednesday, 10 o'clock till 11. And the men's lunch is on Friday. And in case you forget, if you want to come to that, Ewan's here, you could always just tell him instead of having to ring him up or email him. So that'd be great. He knew if he knew in advance. Reflections articles are due on Wednesday, this Wednesday, please, because it's going to be a week late, but I don't want it to be later than that. So it's very big help if you can get them in by then. Chapel Hill Uniting Church have an Alpha program starting. I'm a little bit confused. David may be able to help us. It says it's a one-week course, but when I went on the website, it said to go to the first week and try it out. But after that, I think it is weekly for some time. But it's a bit difficult to find on the website. When you go on their homepage, you do have to scroll down quite a long way to find it. But I'm sure that you'd be very welcome there if you wish to join in. Women's Refuge, very sadly, this is always a very busy time for the Women's Refuge, and anything that you can add on the seat on the side of the church there to help in the way of long-lasting food or assistance in toiletries or things like that would be most welcome. Thank you very much.
Dawn mentioned about Sonia's birthday yesterday, and so I'm just going to pause and pray for that. Is there any other birthdays that we need to acknowledge, particularly anniversaries? Today. Excellent. So Blair and Glenda's wedding anniversary today as well. Congratulations on that. Gwenda Brandpoint had a birth. When was that, Dawn? Oh, Good Friday. We pray. Lord God, we pause just to pray at this particular point of time for Gwenda, for Blair and Glenda, and also for Sonia, and who've shared some particular anniversaries for them, and certainly the other good news for the Davidson household, the birth of her great-grandchild as well. So we gather all that together, Lord, and give you thanks and praise for these moments and indeed for each of them. We thank you for them, for their life together here within the life of our congregation and in many and varied ways, and we pray for your blessing upon them in and through the name of Christ. Amen. So I also want to take the opportunity just to update some news of some other folk that we've had on our prayers lately, and including the Brangiapawns. And for those of you who are on the prayer network, you'll be aware of this, but we've had some prayer for them. I want to share a little bit more of what's happening for them. So for Apichat and Gwenda, their daughter, Michelle's family have been praying for. Michelle and her husband Rob flew to New Zealand where Rob's father Graham had surgery following diagnosis of some cancer. And so Apichat and Gwenda were caring for their children over the last few days while Michelle and Robert were in New Zealand. So very difficult circumstance for them. But then there was also some further news that Apichat's younger sister, Adipon, was critically ill in Bangkok Hospital, lung and heart problems. And last report we heard that the doctors were very concerned about her condition. So that's Apichat's younger sister and also the father of their son-in-law. So we will pray for them shortly. Also an update for Margot. As I mentioned over the last few weeks, Margot's been in hospital, and I mentioned last week that about 3 weeks ago, she had a stroke. When I saw her on Thursday, she was showed some signs of improvement. Justin was there as well, and she was a little bit more alert and responding a little more to things and looking to say some things. And Justin is very appreciative of the folk here in the congregation and support and little messages and phone calls that come through. He's very appreciative that He's hoping to be able to, that she might be moved a little closer, possibly to the Wesley. That would make a huge difference, just certainly for him and for other circumstances. But please continue to uphold Margot in your prayers as well. There remains a long journey in front of her. For those of you who are here on Friday for Good Friday service, and for those of you who weren't, who may not know that Sylvia Anderson died a few nights ago, and she has been, she was only here like a week or so ago, and Heather went back to Sydney with Heather, where her daughters, both Heather and Debbie, live. She had a bleed on the brain very suddenly, ended up in hospital, and Debbie and Heather spent time with her, and indeed each of their children as well. Spoke with Debbie on the phone on Friday night, and she said that they'd each had some time with her at her bedside. They're still just working out some things about services and what might happen, whether that be down there or up here. They're very conscious that there'd be many up here who would want to gather. They're very conscious of that. So please stay tuned for some news about that. And I know that news has come as a bit of a shock for many of us here, and that we're still coming to terms with that. I hope that something of what we share this morning might speak to some of the hope that we can have in the midst of all of these circumstances and more. We pray. Lord our God, in the midst of our time together this morning, we pause to pray for these three circumstances, but there are many other circumstances that we are each aware of that we would want to bring to you, and there'll be opportunity in our prayers for others in a little while to do that. But we pray particularly for Apichat, Gwenda, for Justin, Scott, and Margot, and for Heather and Debbie and their families. Particularly for Sylvia, we thank you so much for her and indeed her husband as well, and the many, many years of shared life together here within the life of our community, our congregation. And thank you so much for the friendships that we've shared in with her and the conversations, and even just a week ago, help us in the midst of our sadness. We lift each of these three circumstances to you, Lord, and we do so in and through the name of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading is from John chapter 20, and then we'll sing I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Thanks, Dawn.
John 20, we start at verse 1, the empty tomb. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw, but did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who'd reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture, which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman," "Why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They've taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni." This means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. May God help us to understand the message for us in these verses. Amen.
Amen. May the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. Well, a much shorter message this morning, and just as the cheers die down about that, it's for a number of reasons. One is that we sing the proclamation of Easter this morning, and we also share in it around the table. And so there's a number of ways that the Easter message comes to us this morning, and we're already doing that. And so just to reflect a little bit more briefly this morning. Things are not going so well, are they? Things are not going so well. I mean, on a global scale. You know, we have what's taking place in the Middle East is but one place where there is much turmoil. But certainly there are lots of implications from what's currently happening in Iran. And what was the message that Mr. Trump sent out this morning, 48 hours, his 10 days, where is his 48 hours left, his ultimatum to Iran to sort things out and get to the table. Otherwise, he'll, what did he say? He'll, all hell will break loose or something. Glory be to God, he finishes off the little message with. Now, I very rarely make comment about political stuff, but there's lots of commentary around at the moment of the Trump administration's militarization of God in the midst of what's happening. There are many people concerned about that, let me put it that way. Things are not going so well, are they, around the place? I mean, on a national level, like Australia. One of the implications is fuel supplies, fuel prices. They're up and down. You know, again, driving here this morning, some are going up again. And the huge implications for that, for so many people. Cost of living, housing supply, rates going up. Things are not going so well, are they? Things are not going so well. I mean, on a local level, like for us, things are not going so well, are they? We just shared in some prayers for the Brangiapons, for Margot. Terrible news of Sylvia. And I know there's other stuff going on for you that things are not going so well, are they? And yet, here we are on Easter morning. If Easter Day has nothing to say to us that gives us hope in the midst of all these things, it has nothing to say to us at any time. And I want to say to you that it indeed does have something to say to us. It does. For here is hope for every single day of the year and every single moment. Here is hope. Things are not going so well was easily on the lips of the followers of Jesus on Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and the dawn of Easter Sunday. They possibly looked around at each other and said, things are not going so well, are they? And yet whatever it was that took place at that open tomb on the Sunday morning, their whole world is changed. Their whole world is changed. They become a people of hope in the midst of utter despair. In the midst of great suffering, and that continues over and over and over again. Certainly as we get into the book of the Acts of the Apostles, again and again, here is this hope and resilience that comes through because of what takes place with Mary that day, that morning. And I want to focus on two things this morning particularly. Well, certainly that message of hope, but also that rises out of this sense of God's grace to us. Mary stands at the tomb. She's already seen that the stone has been rolled away. She races back, Peter and John, and hopefully if this or something happens next week, we'll have a couple of paintings up next Sunday when we look at the story of Thomas. And we'll talk a little bit more next week about proof, or those kind of things, stuff, next week with Thomas. There's a couple of, there's one painting in particular that is just this magnificent painting that we'll have next week about that. But here Mary has gone back to tell Peter and the other disciples. Peter and John come, have a look, and then Mary is left there, still in deep despair, still crying and weeping for not knowing where her Lord has gone. And she hears a stranger's voice behind her. This person, who she's supposed to be the gardener, says to her, "Mary, Mary." And that's the moment that she recognizes that it's Jesus. It's Jesus alive at the sound of her name. Some time before, Jesus had been telling his disciples and followers and others that "my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice." And Mary hears his voice say her name. And here's a moment of grace for Mary. It's Jesus who finds her, who comes to her. She might be looking for him, but it's Jesus who comes to her and finds her. And as with so many other people, when we think back to Mary and her story, here she is being greeted, the first one to be greeted by the risen Christ. It's Mary. The grace of God, the grace of Christ comes to her. The other point where we see the grace and the mercy of God is in the message that Jesus gives Mary. Jesus says to her, "Go and tell my brothers." My brothers. As we reflected a little on Good Friday morning here, when we think about these followers of Jesus, what had transpired in the last 48 hours, but even their struggle to understand and to follow Jesus all those 3 years, to comprehend it and get the picture right. But certainly here, when we think about what's taken place in 48 hours, Jesus says to Mary, "Go and tell my brothers." What an extraordinary word of grace and mercy. And we'll see that in a couple of weeks again in the conversation that Jesus has with Peter one-on-one and the restoration that comes to Peter. Mary, my brothers. I've mentioned a few quotes from Kate Bowler over the last few weeks, and just another one to finish off as part of her Lenten reflections. As she talks about this paradox that happens between life and faith and God and Easter and all those sorts of things, she says this, "Then Easter arrives, and Easter should solve everything. An empty tomb, Christ has risen from the dead, death itself has been defeated. Except when you wake up Easter morning, the world is still the world. People will still receive diagnoses. Relationships still fall apart. Another war is going on halfway around the world. We want the already and would strongly prefer to skip the not yet," because she talks about the not yet thing. "But all of our lives take place squarely in that gap between the already and the not yet." And that's the life that we live. That Jesus is alive, is risen. And we live in this gap of that reality and still in a world that is a difficult world to live in. And this is where the hope of Easter speaks to us. That yes, it speaks to us about that life which is to come, but it also speaks to us about the here and now, because that's what happened for the life of Mary and Peter and John and all of them. that this changed their lives, it changed their world, that they were able to live now in this world with great hope and resilience because of the risen Christ. Jesus spoke Mary's name. This morning, we have the invitation to gather around the Lord's table for Holy Communion. As we do that this morning, I encourage you to listen for God's call to you. I encourage you to listen for God calling your name as you receive the bread and the juice. To listen for God calling your name. Amen. Jenny's going to play some music, and as we do that, our offering will be received. If you're visiting this morning with us, please feel no obligation to give. Be our guest this morning as you come here. If you want to, that's fantastic, but please feel no obligation to give at this point. Loving God, we thank you for this Easter day with its promise of new life and new opportunities. Use us and our gifts to love and to serve you and to witness to Christ whom you have raised and in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Wendy, for sitting there this morning. It is, that's a very serious comment. Thank you. We pray. Just give me a moment here. Lord, we've already begun to share in our prayers for others and for ourselves this morning. There are many circumstances that we bring before you today. But as I've mentioned some of the things that I've shared, that there's so much that's happening on a world scale that sometimes we just simply don't know where to start in our prayers. But it's important, Lord, that we continue to turn to you in the midst of these things, whether that be across the world, across Australia, or much, much closer to home for us. Lord, there's much wisdom that's needed at the moment in the circumstances in Iran and more generally across the Middle East. Please stir within the hearts of so many that have positions of responsibility and decision-making to move towards outcomes that will bring about peace and cessation of war. I pray particularly, Lord, for those in villages and towns across Iran and Lebanon and Israel and so many other places there where there is injury and harm, where there is uncertainty for folk here in Australia as well, for family, not exactly knowing what is happening for them. Our prayers continue, Lord, that you will give your peace personally, within people, within each of us, but more broadly, that peace may come. We pray, Lord, for this nation of Australia and again for our leaders at all levels of government, that they may govern with wisdom and insight and compassion for the well-being of all people across this nation. May we always be thankful for what we have here. Lord God, we all have already shared in prayers for the Anderson family, for Margot and family, and for Brangiapawns. But we pray for others that we are conscious of this day, those that are unwell, those who are concerned and anxious, those who would normally share with us here but are away from us, family and friends and loved ones in different circumstances. We join our prayers with those of Wendy on Friday and praying for those who are travelling, working, giving of themselves this weekend. And help each of us this day, Lord, as we gather here, to be so reassured of your ongoing presence with us as the risen Christ, that our lives are filled with hope for this day and for tomorrow and for all the tomorrows to come. Lord, we pray this in and through the name of Christ, who taught his followers the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." Our song before communion this morning is just one verse. It's this verse of praise and glory to God. And I invite us to stand as we sing this and then to be seated again for communion. Worship, Honour, Glory and Blessing, number 772, right towards the back of Together in Song. Gee, it's so much easier when it's up there, isn't it? Hey? Wow. 772. Please be seated. Here the Lord's table is an open table to all those within the fellowship of Christ. For those who would like to know Christ more, you are welcome to share in this meal. The bread and the glass of juice will be brought to you in your seat, where I invite you to wait until we have each received and we'll eat and drink together. However, if it's more practical for you to eat and to drink when you receive, please feel free to do that. On the night before Jesus died, when darkness was beginning to fall, Jesus had some upstairs in Jerusalem. At this Last Supper, he took bread and he took wine. He thanked God for them and gave them to his disciples, saying, "This is my body and blood given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." As the Lord Jesus took bread, I take this bread and this cup to be set apart for this special and holy use. And as Jesus gave thanks, let us give our thanks and praise. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Loving God, you made this world marvelous for us to enjoy. You gave Jesus to be our friend and to bring us back to you. You send your Spirit to make us one family in Christ. You call us by name. And for that, we give you thanks. For these gifts of your love, we thank you, and we join together along with everyone and everything that has ever lived to sing how great you are. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, O Lord, that you showed your love by sending your Son Jesus, who gave his life for us and rose again from death and lives to pray for us forever. We thank you that he's taken away all that separates us from you and has made us friends with you and one another. We thank you that he has brought us together at this table to strengthen us by his love and his grace and mercy. Send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and this fruit of the vine, that we may know Christ's presence real and true and be his faithful followers, sharing your love for the world. Loving God, we thank you and we praise you through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Each time you do it, remember me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new promise God has made with you in my blood. Each time you do this and drink from the cup, remember me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We share together now, for all is prepared. You're right with the tray, Selma. Do you want to swap? Body of Christ broken for us. Amen. The blood of Christ keep us to eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this special meal shared in the Spirit with Jesus, your Son. Help us to follow you and to share your love and care to all we meet, even as in Jesus you have shown your love and care to us. Amen. We sing our final hymn this morning, "Thine Be the Glory," of the great Easter hymns of the church, and we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
I encourage you to turn to just a few pages back to 370. And after the benediction, we're just going to sing the first verse only of another great Easter hymn. Just the first verse of Christ the Lord is risen today after the blessing and as we move out. May the love of the risen Lord draw you to himself. May the power of the risen Lord strengthen you in his service. May the joy of the risen Lord fill your spirit. And may the life of the risen Lord raise you to new life this day. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Remind about morning tea, or just be over to the left here or the right, just getting set up there. So please join us for morning tea.